This is the Mormon Mixed Faith Marriage Podcast with certified life coach Brooke Booth, episode number 132. Right, this is the third time I've recorded this podcast because I'll record it and it'll be fine. And then I'll think some more about it. And I want to clarify something or add something. And so I'm doing that because this is a really important topic. I usually can just record a podcast and move on, but this one's really got my attention. It's something I've talked about in the past, and we're going to talk about it again. It's this where communication and emotions intersect. It's like the nexus of communication and emotions. It's such an important topic. I love talking about it. We're talking about it again. This is what I hear from a lot of people. I hear things like, Brooke, can you help me manage my tone? Can you help me so when I say it, I'm not too aggressive or coming off too harshly? How do I keep my emotions out of this? How do I not respond so emotionally? How can I stay calm when we talk about tithing? How can I bring up church attendance in just the right way? These are a lot of questions I get. And what's sort of woven throughout those questions is this underlying assumption, this underlying belief that displaying or bringing or expressing emotions in conversation, in communication, in decision-making is bad. It's not. I'm just going to go right there. And I think it's such a fascinating assumption to look at, a fascinating belief to look at critically and to question. I suspect you have this belief somewhere in your quiver of beliefs. I certainly did. Until very, very recently, this is how it sounded in my own marriage. I remember years ago, my husband saying something to the effect of, you know, we don't have a conversation with emotions. Like we don't communicate with emotions. It sounds ridiculous even as I'm saying it now. But at the time I was like, oh yes, let's be adults here. Let's be mature and responsible. Let's talk about this in a calm, rational way. And I want to suggest to you that, well, I have many things to say on this, but I want to suggest to you that there are some real problems with that approach. When emotions are not allowed in communication or decision-making, I want you to just think about that for a minute. Think about the repercussions of that. Think about like some of the short-term or long-term impacts of that in a relationship. This was hard for me to wrap around my head and, you know, to really understand for a while, because I think in part our culture really teaches us to value talking about things in a particular way that we often describe as emotionless, that we often describe as calm and cool and collected. And we value that. And we think that that is the right way in which to communicate in our marriages and just generally. Like I said, so much to say about this. So just stick with me as I unwrap this and talk about this. Because my premise here, I'll be really clear, is that that's not going to help you a lot in your marriage. I call this idea performative rationality. You can look that up and you know, but it's basically what it sounds like. When we try to eliminate emotion from communication because we think that it's somehow better, and I'll talk a little bit about why I think we even get here. But this performative rationality, this idea of we need to eliminate any kind of emotion and just speak from, I don't know, logic to logic. This way of communicating will not help you create connection, emotional safety, love in your relationship, in your marriage. It will not. Because what it often becomes is sort of a battle about who can stay calm and cool the longest, and then that person wins. The person who can stay calm and cool and rational and, you know, their face never cracks and their tone never modulates, that person, by virtue of their cool calmness, wins the argument. That is not communication. That is playing chicken. I mean, it's frankly a type of pissing contest. Like, that is not communication. And it often leaves people feeling shameful or resentful or superior or righteous. That is not the recipe for close, connected, safety, love, vulnerability. That is not a good recipe to create a relationship where people want to be emotionally vulnerable and intimate with each other. When emotions are erased or not allowed or they're policed, one thing you're communicating is, please do not bring your whole self to this marriage. Please do not bring your whole self to this conversation. I do not want to see that part of you. I do not want to know that part of you. That's problematic, and there is a cost you will pay in your relationship if that is the approach. And frankly, often there's a double standard involved. One partner is allowed to express their emotions because they do it, quote unquote, the right way, and the other isn't. Sometimes this falls along gender lines. Women are generally deemed more emotional, whether they are or whether they are not. I think this is in large part because there's something of a lack of self-management when other people express emotions, and there's a lack of being able to tolerate emotions when they are expressed. And I think that's really unfortunate because it often creates a few things, and I'll walk through them. One is, it often creates somebody in the relationship having to pretend when they do have communication and conversation. It leaves them where they're not allowed to come to this relationship as themselves. So over time, they'll feel numb or irrelevant or invisible, certainly not loved, seen, or accepted. When we eliminate or police emotions in our conversation, we're communicating basically that there's a problem with emotions and expressing emotions. And I think that's problematic too. All emotions are okay. And it is okay to feel them, and it is okay to express them. It's okay to get, quote unquote, emotional. That's fine. That is fine. That's part of our humanity. That's part of our identity. That's part of our authenticity. That's part of who we are. That's part of our lived experience in both the relationship and in our broader life. And if we're not able to bring that to the table and have that be part of how we show up, we're losing a really important dimension. I think one reason we police emotions in conversations is because we have concerns and fears and probably past experiences around behavior that we link to emotions. But I want to be really clear that behavior and emotions are separate. I think sometimes when we see people maybe feeling angry and then they do something like lash out, attack, hurt, dismiss, invalidate, criticize, act contemptuously, these types of behaviors, I think sometimes we try to police certain emotions in an effort to police certain behavior. And I think it's important to learn to discriminate between the emotion and the behavior, because there's nothing wrong with the human feeling human emotions. And I think one of the valuable parts our marriages, our relationships can provide us, one of the valuable aspects it can provide us, is just that, a safe place in which to express and share our emotions, a safe place in which to be vulnerable about what we're actually feeling, a safe place for us to not always be pretending that everything's just fine, but where we can really say where we're hurting or where we're afraid or where we're scared or where we're concerned or where we're disappointed. And this idea, this belief of needing to come always calmly and coolly and perfectly and modulating our voice a certain way in all conversations, any conversation really can create an environment where emotions aren't allowed. And so that safe space is never able to be developed. When we have an emotion, that's fine. It's normal. It's good. It's human. It's all of that. When we react to our emotions, specifically certain quote unquote negative emotions with behaviors that can be unkind or hurtful or harmful, I think it's really important that we call that out in our relationship, that we say that was hurtful. You know, when you called me a name, that was hurtful when you yelled at me. I was hurtful when you were dismissive of my idea. I was hurtful when you attacked me, my character, my idea, my personality, my identity. I think that's really an important skill, is to be able to call out bad behavior, bad actions, and to be able to make requests that does not get repeated, and if needed, to set boundaries so that you don't have to be, you know, at the receiving end of bad behavior, of hurtful behavior, of harmful behavior. But that's very different than creating a relationship where the two of you can express and share your emotional experience. Sharing and expressing emotion is very different than reacting to an emotion with hurtful, harmful, exploitative behavior. And I think when we can distinguish that, then we can start to see we don't need to always have the perfect tone, the perfect approach, the perfectly modulated voice. A healthy marriage is one where there's space for emotions, and the emotions matter and are valued because they're part of how we express our experience and our opinions and our viewpoint, and those things matter as well. If emotions are not allowed, it's really dehumanizing. So do you shut yourself down emotionally when you're talking to your spouse? Does your spouse shut you down and ask you not to share your emotions? Get really curious about that. Why or why not? What's going on there? And again, please call out bad behavior. Call out name calling and dismissiveness and unkindness. Call that out. I don't want you to have to be exposed to that at all, ever. But just having emotions is not the same thing. Sometimes we assume that just because somebody's feeling angry, that they're also being unkind. And that's not always the case at all. That's where I think we need to slow things down and be more discerning. If they're exhibiting hurtful behavior, call it out. If they're just expressing anger or frustration or hurt or disappointment, that's a very different thing. And I think we want to be able to really develop the skill to be able to tolerate that and manage ourselves as our spouse is sharing that with us, so we can create a place of intimacy and safety and self-expression for each partner in the safety of that marriage relationship. Now, if you've ever been coached by me or received coaching, one of the great tools in the coaching world is, like, we teach you how to choose your emotions and use your emotions as tools, manage your emotions and not let them dictate your behavior. That's similar to what I was talking about. Like, if you are feeling anger, like, being able to manage that and process that and feel that and express it without it becoming hurtful, harmful behavior. That's an amazing tool to have at your disposal and to know how to do, to be able to express disappointment or hurt or frustration without lashing out and attacking and criticizing. And that's a really important skill. But as I say that, and as I highlight that, that doesn't mean certain emotions should be banned or eradicated. If you want to create you know, and consciously choose to feel a certain emotion as you have a conversation with your spouse, like compassion or gentleness or curiosity, that doesn't mean that you want to eliminate and eradicate anger and disappointment. You might want to very well communicate those as well, but perhaps you want gentleness or compassion to be more primary emotions as you have the conversation, if that's what you choose. I'm not even saying that's always 100% right. But it's nice to be able to choose the emotions you want to implement and to use as your fuel for the conversations or communication you may be having with your spouse. But that doesn't mean certain emotions are wrong choices. If you want to talk to your husband about something important like tithing, or your wife about something important like teaching the kids about baptism or something, it can be helpful to use the coaching tool of, okay, what emotion do I want to use to fuel my actions as I have this conversation, to fuel my tone of voice, to fuel me as I show up to that conversation. But that doesn't mean it has to be your only emotion. And I want you to really pay attention that that's not meaning to police yourself and not allow other emotions to be present. Watch for emotional policing. It can be really important to choose your emotions on purpose. It can be really empowering. If you want to feel empowered as you have a conversation with your spouse, feeling hurt or disappointed may make that more challenging, but it doesn't make it wrong. Like, anger may make it more challenging for you to feel empowered. So you might want to create and consciously lean into empowerment, but it doesn't make your anger wrong. And it doesn't make it mean you shouldn't communicate or express it either. If it becomes that you're self-policing your tone, I'd get really curious as to why. Is that because you're judging the emotions? Is it because you're thinking you're not supposed to be emotional? Are you really being, like I like to say, all emotions are equal, equality for all emotions. Now you can choose to sort of use some emotions more specifically as tools for certain conversation. But again, that doesn't make the other emotions wrong. So as you choose the tool you want to use, are you choosing that tool because you think the other emotions are bad or wrong? Or are you just being strategic to help you show up the way you want to show up in your marriage? Those are important questions. I want to suggest something else too, is there's this idea that you shouldn't be emotional and that being emotional is somehow like a bad thing. It's not a compliment in our society. And I would love to just really turn that on its head, because I would argue we're always all emotional. Always, all of us, men, women, children, adults, are always emotional. It's just sometimes we label emotional as being expressing or reacting to certain emotions. I think if we were to look at it in a really like vernacular, colloquial way, I think when we say emotional, I think what we usually mean is when we're reacting to a negative emotion like anger or hurt or sadness. So I'm talking like temper tantrums or yelling or, you know, throwing things. I think we call that emotional, or like loud voices. But I think that's way too reductive. I think we're actually always emotional. You could be feeling peaceful and you're emotional because you're full of the motion of peace. You could be feeling chill or trusting or excited or nervous or scared. You're emotional. We're always emotional. As humans, we're always experiencing emotion. I think sometimes we don't count certain emotions as emotions. Calm, chill. These are emotions. You're emotional when you're feeling them. I think sometimes we say, well, those are good emotions, and those other emotions like disgusted or frustrated are bad emotions. And again, that is an indictment on half of our lived experience. That's an indictment on half of how we feel as humans. And I think that has problems when we're not able to bring a large part of ourselves to our marriage and to important conversations in our marriage. This is what I want you to consider. So I sort of offer you some ideas here. What are the rules of communication in your marriage? Are they like mine, where the rule was no emotions, not allowed to bring emotions when we talk about things, and it turned into a game of chicken? What are the rules of communication? Are you allowed to express your emotion? Do you need to set some boundaries about when bad behavior comes as we react to certain emotions we're experiencing? Do you need to reevaluate the rules around communication? Are they mutually agreed upon rules, or were they more unilaterally imposed, or maybe just inherited from your parents? Are they inclusive? Are they inclusive of your partner and their needs? Are they inclusive of you and your needs? Maybe they're a reaction to your past trauma or some of your insecurities. Maybe they're a reaction to your spouse's past trauma or some of your spouse's insecurities. These are questions I would ask. The overall thing to consider here is, what if emotions were actually a really valuable part of communication? What if they were a necessary part of communication? And when we were quarantining them and not letting them in, we were actually doing a disservice to ourselves, to our spouse, and to our overall relationship. I want you to consider that inviting in emotions into communication and decision-making is potentially going to increase the effectiveness of your communication and decision-making, increase certainly the emotional connection you can garner from those conversations. And it'll also increase people being able to bring their full self to that relationship, to the communication that is the backbone of that relationship. And I think that alone is well worth reevaluating any rules you may have, where we need to only talk about this, you know, without emotion, where we don't want to bring emotion into this conversation because that's going to somehow derail or hurt the conversation. I don't think that's true at all. Yes, it will hurt it if you bring bad behavior in. 100% agree with that. But emotions are different than behavior. Yes, emotions can lead to bad behavior. But you can learn how to have emotions and process them and feel them and allow them without it leading to bad behavior. Okay, there's a lot to think about here. You might need to listen to this again. I had to record it 3 times because there's all really important things in here. If you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about, Brooke. This doesn't even make sense. That's okay. Take a deep breath. Listen to it again in 6 months. Maybe it'll make sense then. Take a deep breath. Maybe this isn't something that you're struggling with in your marriage, but if this is really hitting a chord for you, if you feel like you have not been able to communicate openly and really express your opinions because you need to always be policing your emotions and that you need to always be saying things in just the right way and just the right voice and just the right tone with just the right facial expression, this podcast is for you. I want you to consider these ideas. Let them bounce around in your head. And then come to your own conclusions. Like, take what works for you and leave what doesn't. Right. If you want help with your mixed faith marriage, as always, go to brookboothcoaching.com. I have great resources there. The full podcast is there. Some free resources for you to use and take advantage of, some paid courses, all sorts of things to help you make your mixed faith marriage more connected, more loving, more gentle, more inclusive, more inviting. Wishing you the best.